brings an awesome message this morning.
Good morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? Glad you're here. We've got a couple things to take care of before we get into our message. Let me give you an update on our move back to Gainesville. Does everybody know we're moving back to Gainesville? We've been believing for that for a long time. God opened a door, a building right up the road here on 13th Street. And the painting is done, the carpets are in, the flooring is in, and the baseboards are all painted. Thanks to some young people that came out and helped us this week. We got a lot done. We got them all painted. They're all stacked up, ready for the door guy. The guy that put up the walls is going to hang the doors and put up the baseboards. So we're right there. We're right there, almost done. So here's the deal. If they put the doors up this week, and I say if because so far all these subs have been famous for not showing up when they said they were going to show up. So I'm just going to say if. Pray that they come. They're supposed to come this week, okay? Now, if he comes, they're going to put up the doors and put up the baseboards. That's like the last thing that needs to be done. There's still a little electrical work, but he's working on that right now. So the plan is check Facebook, and we'll send out an email like on Friday and just let you know for sure. But he's supposed to come this week. If he puts up the doors and the baseboards, then we're going to move next Sunday, a week from today, okay? So be prepared. Bring a change of clothes. If you got a big car, van, trailer, bring it with you. After service, we're going to start stuffing stuff in. I think we're going to rent a little truck, and people have trailers, and we have the big church trailer, and we're going to put everything in and take it over there and put it in there. Okay? And then the sound people come Tuesday, and they take our sound equipment, most of it, and put it over there. Tuesday and Wednesday, they're done with that. So next week is June 2nd, so that will be our move date. June 9th will be our first Sunday in there, okay? So two weeks. Yeah, go ahead. Praise the Lord. It's been a long, arduous task, but again, the door guys have to come this week. So please pray for the door guys. Let's just pray for them right now. Lord, I pray for Alan and his crew to get over there on Tuesday and get their doors done quickly. Bless them. Let them all be safe and happy and get their job done efficiently, quickly, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, all right, that's it. We've been praying. We believe in. I've been so proud of everybody. You guys have been working hard. Great work parties. It's been a lot of fun getting to know some people at a different level, you know, just working together. And thank you for giving. So you can, things that you can do is pray, and as we, this week we're going to have two work parties this week. Thursday night from 5 to 9 p.m. we will have a work party, and there's a lot of little things, you know, the big projects are done, but as you get done, it's like, wow, there's a lot of little things that can be done, you know, and those are usually kind of time consuming. So Thursday night, 5 to 9, we'll have a work party, and Saturday, 10 to 2. Hopefully the door guys will be done. So after they put up the baseboards, they have to be caulked and touched up. And so there'll be a lot of little, you know, intricate work that can be done Thursday night and Saturday. Then, like I say, we'll move Sunday. That gives us all week to put finishing touches, and we'll have our first service on June 9th. That's the plan. Keep your eyes open for any updates on that. But like I say, and the reason why we're moving is to more efficiently fulfill our mission, which is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose in life, and then make a difference. That's what we want to do. We believe we can do a better job of that closer to Gainesville. We have active campus ministry. We want to, you know, resurrect our youth ministry. We have a college ministry, so we can do a lot better. If you ever looked at that intersection, that is one of the busiest intersections in the world, in Gainesville for sure. I mean, I sit there and watch the traffic. It's like, wow, this is a hot spot. So I believe God's going to use that for His glory. We want to touch people. In the days we have until He comes back, we want to be about the Father's business. Amen? So thank you for joining in those three ways, helping us in prayer, in giving, and in serving. All right, well, this is Memorial Day weekend. As you know, I hope you have something fun plan for tomorrow, with the heat in mind, possibly around some water or something where you can get cool. But I think we should give honor where honor is due, and it's an honorable day. It's a day, and this is a biblical principle. Throughout Scripture, you see God setting up institutions and celebrations to honor those that have gone before us. And Memorial Day is a day to honor those that paid the ultimate price for your and my freedom. That's a pretty awesome thing to think about. I love this saying that there are two defining forces that have offered to die for you: Jesus Christ and the American soldier. One for your soul and one for your freedom. And that is an awesome thing to think about. And I think it's worthy to be honored that over 1.3 million people have paid the ultimate price in America since we declared independence. And, you know, I believe America was ordained by God of a place of religious freedom for the gospel to grow and be exported all over the world. And therefore, the devil has fought it. And it required fighting wars. War is an ugly thing, let's be honest. But there is evil in the world, and the Bible says to resist the devil, and evil has to be resisted. And that's the price that's paid. So freedom has never been free. We have a picture here. I mean, everybody's family has been affected in some way. Here's a picture of my cousin, Paul Yanello, Lieutenant Paul Yanello. He's a first cousin, my Aunt Angie's son. So my dad was one of 12 kids. So he was the same age as my dad. They both fought in World War II. And here's the next picture is a picture of his crew. That's their plane, a B-24 bomber, the Dorsal Queen, and that's the entire crew. And in World War II, they had flown quite a number of missions, bombing runs into Germany. And on their last run, they had done a bombing run in Germany. The plane was shot and affected, and it crashed, and the entire crew died. So lost a first cousin, and you'll wonder, what would our family have been like with that cousin who married and had kids, you know? So it affects all of us. And put up the casualties of war, the list there, which shows from the beginning of our country, the list of wars that we fought and the number of people. So it's 1.3 million that have died in these wars for me, for you. That, to me, that's the humbling thing. You know, Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. And the people that have died, they didn't even know me, but they put their life on the line for me. So I think Memorial Day is a good occasion to think about the price that's been paid for our freedoms. In addition to the 1.3 million that died, 1.6 million were wounded, physically wounded, and many were wounded in other ways. I don't know if they can even put a count on the toll is taken on people's minds and emotions and so forth. So I think it's a good thing to think about, to honor these people, to pay them that respect. And I know it's Memorial Day, it's not Veterans Day, but at the same time, I would like to honor all the veterans that are in our midst, because you put your life on the line. You know, joining the U.S. military, you signed a blank check payable up to and including your life. And we respect that and we honor that. So I would ask every veteran to please stand up right now. Let us see who you are, honor you. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Jerry Healy is out front. He's also a veteran. Thank you for serving us. Thank you for what you've done. Let's give him another hand. Thank you. All right, well, listen, there's some sermon notes in your worship guide, but if you need an extra copy, raise your hand. Our speedy ushers would love to bring you an extra copy of the notes. If you like taking notes, this will be good for you. You can follow along the message. So, the title of my message is this: Happy Trials to You. Have you ever heard that song, Happy Trials to You, by Roy Rogers? How many remember Roy Rogers? Or who's never heard of Roy Rogers? I feel sorry for you. You have an underprivileged childhood. You missed out on life. If you didn't grow up watching Roy Rogers and the Lone Ranger, I'm sorry. But you know what? He's still on Dish Network. Both of them are still on Dish. You can watch Roy Rogers. My brother Raymond watches Roy Rogers almost every day. He's still on the Hebrew, and I watch it once in a while, and the Lone Ranger. So I asked my friend Roy Rogers to make a little song, a little jingle, to go along with my message title. I said, please write a song that says Happy Trials to You. And he said, sure, and he wrote it, but he misunderstood when I said trials, and he wrote it, happy trails to you. So I'm going to go ahead and let him sing it since he worked so hard on it, but I'll fix it while he's singing it. You could sing along if you want, and just change trails to trials. Let's go ahead and let Roy have his day.
Trails to you.
Sing this to each other.
Trails to you. Keep smiling,
folks.
Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
That's right.
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Come on now.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
Oh, wasn't that a great song? Sorry he messed it up. Let's all sing it together. Happy trials to you. You could sing that to each other when you leave. Until we meet again. Happy trials. Wish people happy trials. Now, you may think I'm a little crazy, because who would ever wish somebody happy trials? But that's the point of my message today, that trials may be put in your life for a reason. They may be a blessing. They may not be what they look like. We often curse our trials. Why am I going? In fact, the reason I'm sharing this message with you is because a week or so ago, I was complaining to God about my trials. Anybody have any trials, adversities, things you have to face, challenges in life? And I was complaining to God, and God, I felt, spoke about, I didn't see God or hear an audible voice, but I felt like there's something just kind of rose in my spirit, and I felt like he was saying to me, one day, these trials are going to make you very happy. One day, you're going to look back on these trials and be glad that you responded the way that you did to these trials, because it will lay up in heaven for you an eternal weight of glory and unleash for you on this earth an avalanche of blessings. That just kind of shook me, to change the way I looked at my trial, to actually think that a trial could be a blessing, that a trial could have been orchestrated by God because he knew I could handle it. Because you know what the Bible says? He'll never give you more than you can handle. Sometimes you feel like it's too much. Have you ever said, it's too much, God? I can't handle it. But you handle it, and you're going to handle it, and you're going to make it through. You know what? God has faith in you. I'm glad you have faith in God. That's why you're here today. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't have faith in God. You believe there's God. But did you know what? God has faith in you, and it's evidenced by the fact that he allows trials to come into your life. Because if he didn't trust you, if he didn't believe in you, if he didn't have faith in you, he would not let you go through a trial. But he lets you go through trials because he knows you're going to get through it. The fact that you're facing something tells you right then that you're going to get through it, because he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will not give you a trial that's too big for you. It's custom made for you. And that's how you can face trials, by knowing you're going to get through, you're going to go to the other side. You're going to make it to the other side. When you check, just say that to yourself right now. I'm going to make it through this. I'm going to the other side. I'm going to get through this. This too shall pass. What if trials are actually your friend? What if difficulties in life end up creating for us the greatest reward in heaven? Jesus said, lay up treasure in heaven, didn't he? How do you lay up treasure in heaven? Well, there's a lot of ways to lay up treasure in heaven. And one of the ways is the way that you face a trial. Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. How many of you want to please God? I think we all want to please God, right? Paul said, it is our ambition, whether at home or absent, meaning alive or gone, to be pleasing to God. It is our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to God. That's our ambition. And then Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith implies there's something of a challenge in our life that I have to believe through. Like when they were in the boat, remember, and he was asleep, Jesus was asleep on a cushion in the back, and there was a storm, and the boat was filling up with water. It said the disciples were afraid, and they woke him up and with the words, Jesus, don't you care? We are perishing. And he rebuked the storm, and he said, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? So they had a challenge, but they didn't use their faith. And that's what happens when you don't use your faith, you become afraid. You got to remember this. Anytime you're afraid, If I'm afraid, I'm not using my faith. I'm using my ability to fear. I am not seeing victory on the other side of this difficulty. I am portraying and projecting in my mind a negative outcome, a bad outcome. I'm saying ahead of time, I'm not going to succeed. I'm not going to overcome. I'm not going to make it through this challenge. And that brings fear because we don't want that. It's a negative outcome. So the opposite is to project, I'm going to get through this thing. So the disciples, instead of saying, what was Jesus trying to teach them with that lesson? Instead of saying, why don't you care? We're perishing. He said, oh, you have little faith. What he would have wanted them to say is, wow, look at the devil's throwing everything he can, but he's not going to make it. We're going to get through this thing. We're going to be okay. And it's the same for us every day, how you face the challenges of life. Don't pray to never face another challenge because that's not reality. Jesus said in the world, talking to his disciples, he said in the world you will have tribulations. Then he didn't stop there. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Yes. So don't think that because you're facing challenges in life, you've done something wrong. You face challenges because you're alive and breathing on planet Earth. It's just the way Earth is. Earth is going to be full of challenges. That's what Jesus said. In the world, you will have... If we can't change the fact that we're going to face tribulations, what we can change is how I deal with the tribulations, how I address them, what I think, what is the self-talk that goes on in my mind when I face something. What am I saying to myself? What am I saying to God? What am I thinking? How do I see this? That's the challenge, and that's why I want to encourage you and I today that we can change the way we face trials by saying, happy trials to me. This trial is going to turn out for my benefit. This trial, because of this trial, it's going to make me happy one day on earth and extremely happy forever in heaven. By facing this trial with faith, which is a positive attitude, believing that something good is going to happen. I'm going to make it, and it's not going to destroy me. That's simply all we have to do. That's how hard it is. Just say, no, this thing's not going to win. The Holy Spirit inside of me, the God inside of me, Jesus in me is going to get me through, and I'm going to come out on the other side. Okay, have you made it through some stuff? Huh? Were you afraid when you faced it? Yes, but you made it. And you know what? What you're facing today, you're going to make it. So let's change our attitude. And when we change our attitude, we lay up treasure in heaven and on earth. So all we have to do is cooperate with God. What if the things that we hated the most in life, we will love the most in eternity? Think of some of the stuff that you hate right now, and you're like, I hate this part of my life. I hate this. What if one day when we're standing in eternity forever, we will go, wow, the way I dealt with that situation has laid up for me an eternal weight of glory. I'm so glad I went through that. What if? What if God has a master plan and he has everything under control and he is working all things together for your good? Do you believe that's possible? I know it to be true. Because the Bible tells me it's true. He has a master plan. Nothing comes as a surprise to God. Does that surprise you? All we have to do is cooperate with God, and he will turn our trials into a source of blessing. Yes, the very thing that you're facing today, that is a trial, one day you will look back and see that it was a blessing. Well, how does this happen? Go with me to James, the book of James in the New Testament, chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 5. You can read along in your Bible, and it's going to be up on the overhead here. James, who was the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and he faced many difficulties in life, and he starts up, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. So it sets up, when he says dispersed abroad, so he was the senior pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And if you know anything about the history of that time, in the book of Acts, you know, just after Jesus died, the Jews and the Christians were extremely persecuted, and the Romans began taking their property. You remember Paul said, you accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. And this is what was going on. This is why they were dispersed abroad. Imagine today you go home, and there's people living in your house, and there's a government official standing outside, and he says, this is not your house anymore. We've given it to somebody. I'm talking about what actually happened. Your house now, all your possessions, and you have to leave, and you have no recourse. That's what happened. That's why they're dispersed abroad. So think about what are you facing in life? Probably not as bad as everything you had worked for and lived for was taken away unjustly, and you have absolutely no recourse, and you have to leave and go find food and shelter and clothing on your own, and everything you owned is in your house and you can't even have it. This is who he's writing to. And here's what he says to them. You've been dispersed abroad. Greetings. Watch this. Now, yeah, you probably want to slap this guy. Watch what he says. Consider it all joy, my brethren. What? I've lost everything, and you're telling me to smile and be happy and sing a happy song? Yeah, because he's talking about a biblical truth. He's looking with an eternal perspective, and the same thing is true for us today. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. How many have ever encountered various trials? And what is he saying here about trials? Happy trials to you. That's what he's saying, right? Consider it all joy. It's happy trials. Yeah, happy trials to you. That's what he's saying. Happy trials to you. Consider it all joy. When you encounter various trials, knowing, okay, so here's how you can have a happy trial. You have to know something. The knowledge is very important here. Gaining knowledge. Knowing what? Knowing the testing of your faith. So the first thing is knowing that what I'm facing is a test. It's testing my faith. It's testing my ability to believe God that I'm going to make it through this thing. Whatever you're facing today, it's a test, and it's a test of your faith. And you can consider it joy when you know that your faith is being tested, and you know that you're going to rely on God and that you're going to get through this thing. A testing of your faith, because the testing of your faith produces endurance. See, faith that only lasts for a second is not very good. Your faith has to endure until the answer comes. You know, it's what you do between the amen and there it is. See, so you pray a prayer, Lord, fix this problem, amen. Now, what happens between amen, so there's always a gap between amen and there it is. What you, between the amen and there it is, that's when you need endurance, that's when you can't give up. Faith and by faith and patience, you inherit the promise. The testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result. What is the perfect result that he wants? Here it is. So that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Uh-huh. Do you lack today? Is there something you need that you don't have? Lacking in. So if we pass the test, what will be the result? Lacking in nothing. The answer is going to come. He's going to provide. But if any of you lacks wisdom, so here's a key right here. He's telling us the key to hanging in there, not giving up, is to have wisdom. But if any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. How does he give you wisdom? Many ways, but the number one way he gives you wisdom is right here in a book called the Bible, that God so ordained to put in our hand that we could read and find his will for our life and find good and evil, the knowledge of discerning between the two, right and wrong. Yeah, and when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit puts strength in you, puts courage in you, puts wisdom in you, so you can face the challenges of life. Yeah, so reading the Bible is very important. Let trials drive you to your knees and to the Bible, to prayer and to the Bible. All right, that's the key. Now, last week, Brenda shared an amazing message. How many love Brenda's message last week? Incredible message. And she mentioned a story about Lester Summerall that, you know, I hadn't thought about in a while. And I remember the meeting when he shared that. I think it was in Texas or Oklahoma. And what is it, all like 40 years ago, something like close to 40 years ago, that I still remember that, because it was a riveting message when he told about going into Bilibid prison in Manila in the Philippines and fasting and seeing this girl delivered of demonic spirits. It's amazing. But something she said that I forgot was that the demon in the girl, when Lester Sumrall came into the cell, cursed four things. Cursed five things. Cursed God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, and the Word of God. Curse the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is powerful. The devil hates the Word of God, and he hates for you to read the Word of God. Have you ever noticed that? Whenever you get an idea from the Holy Spirit to read the Word of God, the devil throws everything he can at you to keep you from actually sitting down and reading the Bible. It happens to me still after 45 years of reading the Bible. The devil doesn't like me to read my Bible. Did you ever notice that? Am I the only one that feels like there's some kind of resistance that tries to keep you? Why? Because he knows there's strength in there. He knows you're going to make it when you read the Bible. And when I face hard trials, I've learned to run to the Word of God. I run as fast as I can to the Word. I just need to sit down and open my Bible. And it's like, oh, it's like when it's 102 degrees out and you stand under a cold shower. And it's like, I feel better all of a sudden. That's what it's like to read the Word. It's like this. It comes into me. It's like, I'm going to make it. Before I do that, I'm not going to make it. This is the one. This is the one that's going to put me under. And then I go to the Word, and it's like, oh, that's right. I have a God in heaven who's watching them. Oh, yeah, he got me through the last trial. He's going to get me through this trial. But I need the Word of God. I need the people of God. I need church. I need prayer. Run to the Word, because the Word is powerful. Let trials drive you to the Word. In the Word, you will find a solution. In the Word, you will find comfort. In the Word, you will find strength. In the Word, you will find courage. In the Word, you will find a friend. Don't let the trials of life drive you to things that will not solve your problem or give you answers, like alcohol or drugs or pornography. Don't let trials drive you to anger or negativity or complaining or some other sin. And that's a tendency, and that's what the devil says. First, the devil brings the trial, and then we get discouraged, and then he offers you a solution, which is not a solution. It's a greater entrapment. It keeps you from the solution. None of these things will solve your problem. When you go to the Word, you'll get wisdom, and wisdom will solve your problem. When you solve the problem, you'll be happy in this life and the next. When you read the Word, you build your faith. Acting in faith in this life will make you happy through all eternity. So, I wanted to draw a picture. You know I like illustrations. The problem is I'm not good at drawing stuff. So, use your imagination. I'll explain it to you. But I saw it like this. All right? So, this is you. Do not be insulted, but this is you. Oh, those are ears. They're kind of big. And there's a little hair. All right, this is you, and this is the earth. You are on the earth. And this is the dimensions, three spheres, three realities, okay? So you are on the earth. Now, up here, this is heaven. And to make this real, there is another reality. When you're on the earth, and there is another reality that, just for the sake of the discussion, to be sure that we know this is a possibility, there's hell. So I don't really want to go there. It's not the subject of my discussion, because I'm assuming today that you've made a decision to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, and that when you die, you're going to go to where? To heaven. Now, the truth is, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The only solution for sin is the price that Jesus paid on the cross. If you receive him as your Lord and Savior, when you die, and you will die, you're going to go one of two places. You cannot stay on the earth. Your body is your earth suit, is your legal right to remain on the planet. When it ceases to function biologically, you lose your right to be on the earth, and you go to the place of departed spirits, which is one place or the other. If your sins have not been covered by the blood of Jesus, then you have to go to hell. You have to go to hell, and you don't come back, and there's no purgatory, and there's no in-between. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. That's it. That's what the Bible says. Now, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, when you die, you go to heaven. So these are the two options when you die. So when you act in faith in this life, two things happen. There's a mountain in your way, snow-capped mountain. And you see this thing, and there's two ways. You can just cower in fear. You can be upset. You can complain. And guess what happens? The mountain just stays there. So what is this thing? What is this mountain? It's a test, right? Because what did it say? It's a test of your faith. It's testing your faith. Now, so you think, well, I got out of school. I don't have to take any tests anymore. No, sorry. Life is school, and we're being trained, and God is testing us, right? The good news is it's an open book test. You can find the answer. And the other good news is if you don't pass, you get to take it again until you pass. That might also be bad news. If you keep facing the same test and not passing it, that might be an indication that I'm not doing too well on passing this test. So what happens when I pass the test? When I pass the test, two things happen. I lay up treasure in heaven. So every time you face, and sometimes you face the same test every day for years because you have to stand believing. Like Abraham, right? How long did he believe? 25 years. And it said he did not waver in unbelief, but believed that what God promised would come to pass. So every day he gets up and has not received the promise, which was a son after he's 75 years old, which didn't come until he was 100 years old. Every day he gets up and keeps believing God. What happens? He adds to his treasure. He keeps adding to his treasure. He keeps adding to his treasure. He's adding to, and one day this treasure gets, one day you're gonna face that treasure. You're gonna receive that treasure. When you die, you're gonna go. And also, we're gonna look at a scripture. It says you also lay up treasure on earth. When you pass the test, you also start laying up treasures on earth. The blessings that the Bible talks about, I will open the windows of heaven. He's going to open a window from heaven. I told you I'm not good at drawing. So there's a window, I guess, and blessings on this. You're going to get blessings two places, now and later, on earth and in heaven. So it would help you to face the trials if you begin to know how this situation works and what's going on. Is God is giving me an opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven and blessings on this earth, depending on how I look at the situation and how I handle the situation. If we don't pass the test like the apostles didn't pass the test in the boat, oh, ye of little faith, why are you afraid? They didn't pass the test, so they had to get another test, another test, another test. And sooner or later, bing, oh, I just need to trust God. And they pass the test, you graduate, you get the blessing, and you get to move on. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The way, when you respond to a trial on the earth in faith, you send up treasure to heaven. When you pass a trial, you lay up treasure in both places. Look at this in Mark chapter 10. Jesus responding to a question of the disciples starting in verse 29. And he was talking about this guy. And they were like, whoa, what are we going to get? And Jesus said, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms. Now watch this. I used to always read that and go, okay, they just kind of walked away from it. What would it cause? What would happen so that you had to do that? It's like you lost everything that was near and dear to you. There was some kind of a trial. There was some kind of a challenge. There was some kind of a difficulty that caused me to have to walk away from all these things. He's talking about challenges and trials and difficulties that when you make the right choice, he said, no one has faced the challenges of life and passed and walked on for my sake and the gospel's sake, that but he will receive what? 100 times as much when? Now, in this present age, 100 times what you went through, 100 times now in this present age, along with persecutions. There's the trials, along with persecutions on this earth. You're going to face mountains. You're going to have persecutions. Now watch this. In the present age, houses, brothers, sisters, children, farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Both. Now and later. Here and there. And both. So Romans 8:18 says this. I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That puts it in perspective. See what you're facing. Put it in perspective. Sometimes that's all we can see, is all we see is the mountain, and all we talk about is the mountain. What we need to talk about is the treasure that's being laid up in heaven and the victory I'm going to get on the other side of the mountain. Amen. I consider the sufferings of this present, they're not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. I mean, it's so heaven is so amazing. If we can just think about that through the trials of life, how great. And not just heaven, but rewards in this life. Because you know what? You need some stuff in this life to accomplish God's purpose for your life. If your plan for your life, if you have everything you need for your plan for your life, it's not God's plan. It'll always be bigger and greater and more than what you have resources to do with your what you have. It always will require a window to be opened in heaven. You can be happy going through a trial when you already know what the end will be. God's not worried about the things on this life. Why? Because he already knows the end. You know, he read the back of the book and we win. I read the back of the book. We win. You win. Read the back of your book. That's just, you know, by faith, see what the scripture says. Let me give you a picture of how this works. To me, it's like the way I watch Gator games. How many Gator fans we got here? How many like to watch the Gator games? Nobody's a Gator. We need a little more enthusiasm for the Gators here. Come on, get enthusiasm. All right, how about the Purple Hurricanes? Come on, go Canes. That's Gainesville High School. All right, we got a couple of them here. Hope nobody's rooting for FSU. But I've been going to Gator games for 56 years now. When I was 9 years old, I started selling Cokes in the stadium. How many have ever sold Cokes in the stadium? Anybody? Joe, look at that. Amazing. Here's my, you got to have your shtick. Coke, Coca-Cola, Coke. What was yours, Gomer? Did you have one there?
Coca-Cola.
That's too, okay, that was a good one. But I like mine. Coke. Okay, so you bought this tray of Cokes. You pay 15 cents each for 24 Cokes, and you walk up and down, and you sell them for a quarter. You make a dime a piece. You make $2.40 a tray. That was big money because you could buy a Chandler's hamburger for 12 cents. Anybody remember Chandler's hamburger on 13th Street and 8th? Now it's a Metro PCS. And get this. They had the price on a neon letters, 12 cents. That's how secure the economy was back then. 12 cents for hamburger. I remember we'd go on a trip. We'd drive up 13th Street. My dad would go in with a $1 bill and get 8 hamburgers plus 4 cents tax, $1 exactly, and feed the whole family with a sack of hamburgers. How about that? Give Chandler's hamburgers a cheer. God bless them. All right, so I used to sell Cokes, but I became a Gator fan. But here's the thing. When the Gators lost, which was in those years was quite frequently, until Steve Spurrier came and became our quarterback and we started winning. But I would get very upset, and to this day, I don't like to watch the Gators lose. Yeah. So thankfully, they've invented something called a DVR, which I don't even know how it works or what it means, but on my dish satellite, here's how I watch the Gator games. I record it, because Saturday, I'm not going to sit there for 3.5 hours. I'm sorry. I don't have 3.5 hours to watch this, watch the Gators lose. Now, I don't mind watching them win, but I'm not going to watch them lose. So here's how I watch the Gator game. I have a point to this now. I do. I record it, and then when I'm done with, you know, my sermon and everything I want to do on Saturday, I come in, I get something to eat, and I turn on the TV, and I immediately go to the end, and I see the score. I check the score. If we won the game, I watch it. But I can watch it in 30 minutes because you skip all the commercials and the penalties and everything like that. And you only watch when they're actually running the ball and stuff like that. Boom, boom, boom. You just go through it. But guess what? If they lost, I ain't watching. I'm not going to watch it. I don't want to watch them lose. And I enjoy watching it when they won. Why? Because no matter what happens, I know they're going to win. If they get intercepted, I don't care. I already know the end from the beginning. We're going to win, so I don't care. So it doesn't make my blood pressure go up. I enjoy the game because I know we won. And they fumble the ball. It doesn't upset me. No big deal. We won the game. I enjoy the game because I know the end. And you can enjoy your trial if you read the scripture that says you win and you're going to make it and you're going to get through this thing. That's how you can enjoy the trial. Know that you won. You got to. You got your own DVD, DVR of life. You're going to win. You're going to make it. God has confidence in you. He's seen the end of the game, and he said, you're going to make it. You're going to end up in heaven, and you're going to be happy one day. All right, that's what the Bible says right here. Romans 8:28. I'm going to prove it to you. Some of you look at me like a cow looking at a new gate, but I'm going to prove it to you right here. Romans 8:28. Look at here. And we know, so what did James said? You can handle the trial. You know, because you know the testing of your faith is going to end up you being complete, lacking nothing. Look at this, Romans 8:28. We know, everybody say, I know. Yeah, you got to know something. You got to know you're going to make it through this trial. We know God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So you already know the ending. What's the ending? It's a good ending. How do you know? You read the scripture. That's why I said trials drive you to the word, and you get these lists of scriptures. I have scriptures already written, printed out for myself for this kind of a situation. I know they're going to come back again, and I've got them divided into categories, whether it's health or it's finances or it's relationships or some other kind of challenge. I've got it all divided, and I've got the scriptures, so I know where to run. I know where to get my answers, and I read scriptures like this. I know God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. I love God. Look at this one, 2 Corinthians. You might want to jot these down. Actually, they're in your notes. I already did the work for you. You can take it home with you. Thanks be to God who, how often? Yeah, mm-hmm. I looked up that word in the Greek, and literally, you know what it means?
Always.
Very good. Always leads us how? In triumph. Always. It means you're going to make it. Whatever you're facing today, you're going to make it. It always leads us in triumph in Christ. And look what happens. Manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge in him in every place. Stay sweet. Stay sweet. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Don't get negative. When you're going through something, people look at you and they think, that's the happiest person in the world. I guess they don't have any problems. Yeah, because that's what it says. Because you see the end from the beginning. You already know how it's going to turn out. And manifest to us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Why? Because we already know the ending. I already watched the end of the game. It's 35 to 20. We won. Okay, so I'm not worried. And you got to watch the end of your game. You're going to read the scripture. Say, I'm going to make it through this. It's going to be all right. You'll handle it differently when you read the scripture and you see the end of the game. Say, it's going to be all right. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us what? The victory. Huh? Is he a liar? Faith is simply acting like God's not a liar. Now, to act like he's not a liar, you have to hear him say something. How do you hear him say something? You read the Bible. So you read the Bible and you act like he's not a liar. And that's what he says. He said, thanks be to God who gives us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We already know the ending. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. How many can say amen to that? Yeah, I got that. Yeah, that's right. Okay, he said, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way it's going to happen. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You say, okay, I fit that scripture. That scripture's for me. Tell me how it's going to end up. But the Lord delivers him out of them. How many?
All.
And I looked that word up in the Hebrew, and guess what that means?
All.
So whatever you're going through falls into that category. All. You say, I already know the ending. He delivers me out of them all. Psalm 37:12 says this, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. Look what God does. Look what God's response. What's the title of my message? Happy trials to you. And here's God's response. The wicked plots against the right. Anybody ever plotted against you? Anybody ever blindsided you? I've been blindsided. I went into a meeting one time with a lawyer and some people, and it was like, what? Woo! They blindsided me. And you know what? God came through and turned it around for my good. Whatever is going against you right now, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. Look at how God acts about this situation that you're going through. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. You got to see it too. You got to see the end from the beginning. You got to know that you're going to get through this thing. God has not forsaken you. That's a word for somebody today. Wherever you're at, whatever you're facing, God has not left you to face this alone. He sees what you're going through. He laughs at the devil. He's laughing at what you're going through. Why? He's not laughing at you. He's laughing at the devil because he knows he's a loser and he's lost and he's been defeated on an old rugged cross. cross, and you're going to make it. And that's why he's laughing, because he knows you're going to get to the other side. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. God's laughing at your enemies right now. Let's laugh with him. Let's laugh with him. He's laughing. That's why I say happy trials to you. When you face something, you can laugh at the devil because God's laughing at him. When you see a mountain in your way, laugh at the mountain. Be happy. Why? Because you can see yourself on the other side. Don't just look at the mountain. Come on. Don't just look at the, don't sit there and meditate on the mountain. I've done that. Come on. I've been there. I've looked at the, I've met it. And when the more you look at the mountain, guess what? The bigger it gets. The more you look at God, the bigger he gets. Quit looking at the mountain. Quit looking at the solution. Start looking at the solution. See, don't just look at the mountain. Confess the to the mountain the victory in Jesus Christ. Act like God's not a liar. Act like his word will come true. And the Bible says you will be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. That's why you can have happy trials. You can enjoy your trials in this life and in the next. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've already seen the end from the beginning. You're laughing at the devil. You're laughing at the things that are coming against us. You're not laughing at us. You're laughing at the stuff that we're facing because you already know. Just like I can laugh when the Gators fumble because I already know they're going to win. Jesus, you're laughing at our adversaries because you know that we're going to win. And Lord, help us to see what you see. Help us to see the victory on the other side of this mountain that we are facing today in our life. And help us to lay up treasure in heaven by having faith, by acting like you're not a liar, by ascribing to you goodness and justice and praise and saying, I'm going to get through this thing. God's going to take care of me. He has not forsaken me. He will never leave me or forsake me. He's going to get me through what I'm facing today. And you just begin to laugh and praise and have a happy trial. And right now I got a question for everybody here today, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today, you say, think so, hope so, not sure. Does anybody really know for sure? That's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. And yes, people can know that they're going to heaven. The Bible says, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that. In John chapter 3, and here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian. Owning a Bible doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be born again. What does that mean? That means simply there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes on, lives on the inside of you, and he makes you into a new person. That's how simple it is. Confess with your mouth, Jesus says, Lord, thou shalt be saved. That's all you have to do. Believe and confess. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. And I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward, but in a moment I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to take care of that. You might be here today and you say, you know what, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I want to be with God. And I want to get back on track. So this is for you, with every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if either one of those apply to you, would you slip up your hand real quick and let me know that you're serious about God, you want to make a decision for Christ, and today is a fresh start. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them pray this prayer out loud. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. They meant business with God. Their lives are forever changed. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. I love to see people make a commitment of their life to Christ. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time...